Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to read the first 8 verses and then let's talk about them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Let's pray and ask our God to illumine us, to open our eyes, to turn on the lights so that we might understand what we read and that we would, by His grace, be able to apply it to our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we don't take lightly that we have before us Your Word. Forgive us when we have taken for granted the privilege we have to read it at will. And yet we confess to You our inability to comprehend it. Spiritually, we cannot understand it unless You, Holy Spirit, turn the lights on. So would You do that this day? There are people in this place who would feast on Your Word and need Your Spirit to lead, to enable, to strengthen us by Your grace to not only hear it, but do it. There are people maybe in this very place who have never heard Your Word. Oh, they've heard somebody read it before and they may have read it themselves, but they've never really heard it. God, would You turn on the lights today? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, brothers, we instructed you, we encouraged you, we exhorted you, we asked of you to live in this way, how to live in order to please God. Suppose I could say to you that you can put a smile on the face of God, you can do something that will honor Him. Would you want to know what it is? Would you want to know how to please Him? That's what Paul says. We have given you instruction, exhortation, how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. You are already doing what I am about to tell you. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Why would He have to tell the church of the Thessalonians to keep on living for the Lord? Well, maybe because they were saved out of a culture that didn't know God or honor Him as God. Maybe they lived in a pagan culture, not unlike the culture you have been saved out of. Maybe there were questions in their minds as to what was okay and what wasn't okay. What is it that God requires? We sang multiple songs about a God who is very different than us. He's holy. And so what does it look like to live for Him? Rest assured, it doesn't look like looking around the world and making a determination from that what honors God. It's coming to the truth of His Word and asking Him, what is it that pleases You? Paul knew the temptations that the church of the Thessalonians would face, even as God knew the temptations that you and I would face in our culture today. Are morals getting better in America today? It is, verse 3, God's will that you should be sanctified. You should look different than the world. You should be going through a process of change in your lives. You should be set apart for something other than the rest of the world who doesn't know God. That you should avoid sexual immorality. I wish that I could stand before you today and tell you that this really is not the point of application because we don't struggle with this in our culture today. But you would know, as I do, that is one of the largest struggles that we have in our culture today. Not unlike the first chapter of Romans or the church of the Thessalonians. This is so real and so applicable to where we are today. Paul talks about us being different, and he addresses one very specific area, and this is it in this case. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. How many of you grew up with a living room? Do you remember that? And some of you have one now. Well, I grew up with a living room, but it wasn't a living room, okay? We didn't get to go in there. We didn't live there. The living room was pretty much off limits. We got to go there at Christmas. And if by chance a guest came in our house, we might get to go into the living room. It was set apart. It wasn't meant to house our dirty jeans and shoes. In a similar sort of way, and yet in a very positive way, Paul tells us that we have been called apart to be a living room. Not a place where nobody enters, but a place that is different than the world in which we live. I think all of us would consent to the idea that we ought to be moral, that we ought to be pure, that we ought to be holy. I guess the biggest struggle is, how do we define that? And the standard of holiness has continued to decline. Do we really need to hear about holiness? Do we really need to be called to be pure? This is a recent study by Barna. And basically, he compares busters, 20 and 30 year olds, to those who are older than that. And he compares the morality of the two. And he demonstrates how radically different the 20 and 30 year old culture is as compared to those who are older than that. Listen to what he says. Please don't hear me, especially if you're 20 or 30 something, as pointing a finger at you. Please hear what I am trying to say is that our culture is declining, morally speaking. And it is just as much the fault of the generation preceding the busters as it is the busters. So you who are not busters but are older, don't you dare pull out your finger and point it at them. For I fear that we have dropped the ball in holding the standard high. Listen to Barna's report. Perhaps no moral dimension has changed as much as Americans' perspectives and behaviors related to sexuality. Among the 32 factors examined in the research, 8 of them related to such topics as extramarital sex, pornography, homosexuality, etc. In all 8 of these areas, busters were significantly different from older Americans. Some of these differences show up in the sexual activities engaged in during the past month. Busters were twice as likely to have viewed sexually explicit movies or videos. 2.5 times more likely to report having had a sexual encounter outside of marriage. And 3 times more likely to have viewed sexually graphic content online. The report goes on and on. Do I need to continue to demonstrate to you what is happening in front of our eyes? And I wish that I could say that it's out there somewhere. But it's happening in here. It's happening to us. And so, yes, I think we desperately need to hear Paul's cry, God's word that calls us to holy living. Be holy, be sanctified, be set apart sexually. And don't you dare walk out of here and say, well, our pastor's against sex. I'm not. It is a tremendous gift of God to be exercised in the confines of marriage, defined as one husband, one wife. And if we do anything but that, we devalue it. And we don't get the full extent of what He has gloriously created. Be holy, be sanctified, be set apart sexually. Why? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, exercise sexual purity because to do so pleases God. If you miss the other two points, don't miss this one. I mean, Paul says it and says it and says it again. Look at verse 1. We instructed you how to live in order to please God. I'm about to tell you again what it looks like to please God. Verse 3. It is God's will that you should be set apart, different, holy in this area. Verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. To live with sexual purity is honoring to God. It puts a smile on His face. Why? Because in His character, He is holy. We sang of it. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's righteous. He's different. I heard somebody recently say, what we are guilty of doing at times is defining God as the best human being we could ever imagine. That's not what God is. God is so totally different than what I can imagine. There's much more to Him than I can even come up with. And by very nature, if I define Him, I put Him in a box. And He cannot be in a box. It cannot contain Him. That's why He says, I am. Well, you am what? I don't understand. I can't get her. No, you can't. I will give you bits and pieces and you will grow in that understanding throughout your lifetime. But you will never get your arms around the living God. And if you ever think you've gotten your arms around Him, you better look again, because it's probably not Him you've gotten your arms around. I didn't say you can't understand some things about God, but He is the infinite God. And He's perfect. He by nature defines holiness, otherness. And as I belong to Him, I represent Him. I am His. He didn't just save me to put a notch on His belt. He saved me to make me into the image of His Son. And that is a process, practically speaking. And this is one area where it ought to be practiced because it honors God. It then begins to reflect His character, His nature. Exercise sexual purity because to do so pleases God. Secondly, exercise sexual purity because to do so values other people. I want you to understand something in verse 6. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Pornography is degrading of other human beings. It devalues one created in the image of Almighty God. When you view it, you enter into that devaluing process. Adultery, premarital sex, all of those things include others in your sin. Sexual immorality isn't neutral, it wrongs others. Young people, do not listen to the ideology of our culture that says, if you loved me, you'd let me. Because God's word says the exact opposite. If you really love somebody else, you will wait. Because to do anything else is dishonoring to that person. Isn't that what verse 6 says? That to engage in that activity is to wrong a brother or sister and take advantage of them. Exercise sexual purity because to do so pleases God. To do so values others. And finally, exercise sexual purity because to do so makes you free. See, sometimes when we hear rules, we think, I don't want that. I don't want a rule. I just want to be free to do whatever I want to do. Well, let's look at that freedom just for a moment in verse 5. Actually, go back to verse 4. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, which is the opposite of control. It's out of control, like the heathen who do not know God. Sexual immorality is slavery to sin. How free is that? We want to be free to do as we please, but unbridled sexual freedom is no freedom at all. It is slavery to sin. True freedom is the exercise of self-control that can only be had by the grace of the living God. Have I convinced you that morally speaking, we ought to strive to be pure? Can I tell you that you need help to do so? So what do you want me to do, Carl? I want you to do two things. I want you to pray for purity. I want you to pray for purity. It occurs to me that there are some of you who have, some have failed miserably in this area. Maybe right now. And I would call you to repentance before the living God. All that means is to stop the direction you're headed and to turn around and go the other way. Would you listen to the Spirit of God who taps you on the shoulder and says, stop. You cannot by your own strength stop. But he can help you. And I'm not just talking about sexual purity and the big decisions. Maybe you've failed in your own thought life and you need to admit that to God. Let's do that right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Maybe there's an area in your life where the Holy Spirit is saying to you, this is not holy. It's displeasing to God. It's hurtful to others. And it is bondage for you. Would you admit your sin to God and ask for his help to turn and go the other way? Lord Jesus, as we sang earlier, it is because of your love for us. It is because of your death for our sin, for us. It is because of your resurrection that we can come to you and turn away from our sin. Would you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And would you equip us and strengthen us to be holy, especially in this particular area, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for purity. Pray for purity. Ask God, when you've wronged him, to turn your heart around and go the other way. Ask him to help you to live as you ought to live. That's the first point. Pray for purity. Here's the second one. practice it. Purify your mind with the truth of God's word. Teach yourself the word of God. Allow God's spirit to teach you his truth. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. Learn what they are and resist. Don't feed your mind junk food that leads to sexual immorality. Feed it the truth of God's word. Exercise integrity in the little areas. Do you need an accountability partner? Ask somebody to hold you accountable, to ask you the hard questions. Ask them to pray for you. He's called you to be holy, Faith Church. He's called you to be holy in this one area. Be holy because it pleases him. Be holy because it's for the value and the good of others. Be holy because it's freedom for you.